From cradle to grave, every moment of your life is one word after another, overlapping all the words from all of those who've crossed your path in a never-ending cycle of tale and experience. The concept is simple. The guest chooses the theme, the coin is flipped, and the winner is the first to tell a story based on their chosen theme. The loser gets to share a second. There are no prizes, no contests, no rules, and no boundaries. Just a few minutes spent exchanging the narrative from moments of our own human existence. Welcome to Tell Me a Story. All right. So
the red button that says record, dumbass.
It's no. I hit it and then it just like went all quiet.
Nice.
Like, the machine wanted to think about it. Like I haven't dumped enough fucking money into this machine that it can record something without being an asshole first.
Does it have a bill acceptor in it? You can just put money into it.
You know what? It feels like it. Every time I plug in a new piece of hardware, I'm like, well, you know, that's another semester of college I'm not buying for my kids. Actually, that's another textbook I'm not buying for my kids.
Yeah, shit.
Semester. So, okay. I have had a headache since 2006, give or take. I've gone through a bunch of MRIs. Doctors have looked at stuff. They've pointed magic wands at me. They've given me pills, sleep studies. They put me on a CPAP machine for 6 months. Which, let me tell you something, it turns out I didn't need it. And so that was 6 months of lost sleep, which it turns out when I'm tired, that makes my headaches worse.
Hey.
So when I went, I will say this way, when I started my own business.
Yeah.
when I decided to put a classy business card on my unemployment. I didn't have insurance for 4 or 5 years. So I saw no doctors. But I was feeling really shitty. And I had gone a couple of times in emergencies to this really nice community health clinic down the way from us. And that's where the poorers go. You see, most of the folks in there speak the Spanish, which I do not at all. I could do a really shitty Antonio Banderas accent. Oh, yes. Turns out this is not Spanish. This is just being an asshole. Yeah. And so I went down and we were doing some other stuff and we're trying to figure out headache stuff. And basically, here's what I want. I want to go in. I want the doctor to give me Adderall because I love it. And
I was trying to make the connection. I didn't see one, so I just assumed.
No. I have been diagnosed with ADHD. And, you know, that's like Ritalin stuff or whatever.
Yes,
It turns out that Adderall's like way better than Ritalin.
Yes.
So I want that. And apparently there's like a new one. I can't remember the name of it, but apparently it's fantastic.
Well, I was longer. On Vyvanse and yeah.
That's the stuff.
That was very, very effective, yes.
And less hangover-y, if I understand. Makes you feel less like you're tweaking.
Initially, Christ, for the first 2 weeks, it was like I was Energizer Bunny.
Wow.
I mean, you put a quarter in me and I kept going for like 20 hours straight.
See, I want some of that. Vyvanse? I'm going to write that down. So, I'm at the dock and we're just running through a bunch of stuff. And they're like, well, I tell you what, let's check your testosterone count. Okay.
Okay.
So they take a fuck ton of blood. And just for no other reason than I think it was on a checklist, they checked my A1C. And instead of finding out that I had low T or high T or whatever, too much estrogen, I have no idea. They're like, hey, by the way, you're diabetic. And according to this, you've been diabetic for a while.
Wow.
And it's fat guy diabetes, make no mistake. this is no type 1.
I didn't assume that, you know, it's not like, you know, it was sexually transmitted.
No. But it's not like the, you know, it's not hereditary. I didn't get it because I got screwed by genetics. I got it because I spend 18 hours a day sitting at a fucking computer and I don't get up and move.
Right.
So they're like, yeah, and you've had it for a while. Your A1C is like 12 and a half and that's going to kill you. So here's some insulin. Start beating like a shithead. Here you go. And so I stopped eating like a shithead, started taking my insulin and my other idiot pills. I have yet to really get a workout routine down because I have shit to do. But my A1C is down at a 5.5 to the point where my doctor, bless his itty-bitty tiny little heart. Here's the thing. The dude is 5'7", tops, right?
All right.
Yeah, his name's Jay. His first name's Jay. He's Dr. Jay.
Hey, all right.
And so I call him Dr. Jay. And it took him a couple of visits before he understood that I was making fun of him for being short. Because I finally asked him, hey, whatever happened to the hook shot? And he went, oh, you're making fun of me because I'm tiny. And I'm like, yeah, you make a shitload more money than I do. And really, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Wonderful doctor. Except
give you a shot with a hook, you know, on the end that
removes
flesh on the whale.
He got me by not giving me Adderall. So, because I think he knew that I wanted to use it as a tool to work more, which is, honest to God, why I want it. Because otherwise, I don't do anything where I need that much energy except sit and work. But I really like the intensity I get when I use it as a study aid. So, yeah, yes, I have diabetes. And I found out that I have it on accident. And I still have the fucking headaches. And it's been... 8 years now, and no one can tell me why? It's probably because
I'll tell you why. It's probably because you sit on your ass all day in front of a computer.
Yeah, but when I take time away from that, it doesn't change. It gets worse when I come out of the dark.
I mean, don't you do any Tai Chi stuff with John, or do any yoga? You
know,
anything,
no.
You know, stretch those joints out of alignment there.
What, you want me to do slow motion martial arts with Johnny?
Yeah.
No.
It's good for you.
No.
It'll take care of your headaches.
You know what? I know it'd be good for me. I do. I just couldn't do it without giggling because I'm fucking juvenile. I'm a child.
Okay. When I was living out there, I was a senior and you were however many years younger, a year.
I was a freshman.
Bullshit. Asshole.
When you and I started tooling around, were you a senior?
Yeah, I was. I moved out there for the last quarter of my senior, the last semester of my senior.
Huh. Because, yeah, I was a junior.
Yeah, you were.
Yes.
Yeah, because we're the same.
Because I'm younger than you.
Yes, you are. I'm here. Pig fucker. Anyways, we used to spar.
You
know, pretending we were all Bruce Lee and shit, and thinking that we were somewhat good at it.
I was more like Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
No. Chuck Norris, no matter how good he is, always looks a little awkward.
Yeah.
And Bruce Lee always looked like he had his shit together.
That's something to do with your height, though.
Yeah, everything I do looks like an awkward fucking flamingo.
Yeah.
Now it's an awkward flamingo with a beer belly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right.
No, I do remember we used to do that all the time.
Do that and shit like that, you know, you can do it. You can do it fast. You can do it slow. I don't care. But it'll be good for you.
I've got a room right outside of the studio. You've been here.
Yes,
it's full of exercise gear. It is more full of cardboard boxes now than it was when you were here a couple of years ago.
That storage facility that you have going there?
Yeah, it's basically I use the exercise gear to wall off the areas where I would work out. But instead, things my wife sends downstairs, and we ran out of room across the way of now encroached. And it didn't break my heart. I have to clean it up in the next couple of days because we're having a guest on the Left Show this weekend who's never been here before and is a lady.
Important. And
if I don't clean the basement, Brenda will murder me in the face.
In the face.
Yeah. So let me really quick, now that we're 10 minutes in, introduce who the hell you are for those who may or may not know you. This is a very old friend of mine.
not that old.
We go back, you know.
Pleistocene, yeah.
Yeah. To, you know, you I believe, you had the long, light-colored hair.
Yeah.
I used to snatch a rock from your hand. You called me Grasshopper. See, I'm doing old again because I am a dick. This is Troy Hughes. You have been, in the history of the Left Show, the most requested return guest, and you've only been on once. We had you on when you were in town, and then we had you cut a couple of commercials for us. And so,
yeah, and then you cut them out because, you know, you change shit too much. So,
No. Here's what I've done. I chopped them up a little bit. You are still every week on Hole 322.
Attaboy.
Right there in the middle. Every week, everybody hears your voice. And that's why those people know it and say, hey, when's he coming back on? When's he going to be in town so you can cut a new fucking ad? Because we've heard this one for 2 years now.
Yeah, just send me a script.
Okay. So yeah. you and I kind of, the vernacular I would want to use is went to high school together. But the truth is, we really didn't. We, during high school hours, hung out at your house and watched Rattle and Hum and Live at Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what that we did.
And then once my mother got home, then we bailed and went to hang out. We hung out at Denny's.
In Provo.
Yeah. Because we spent 95% of our time in Provo. Oh, there's the story for you, Jeff.
Okay.
Do you remember?
Hang on.
Remember when I got busted?
Oh, okay. Okay. Troy Hughes, tell me a story.
A long time ago. Galaxy. No.
That was beer, right?
That was what?
It was beer, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So there you are at the tender age of 17.
I don't even know where the hell did we even get it from.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to break the rules and tell you a story first.
Sweet.
About where that fucking beer came from.
Okay, please.
It was after, was it after high school? Was I already down at Utah Valley Community College?
Probably, yes.
Okay, so I was tooling around with this dude named Mike. And Mike had this giant Ford LTD from the 70s. Giant fucking boat car. This was like one of the first nights I had ever hung out with him, like where we had actually left the theater department at the college to go and do stuff. I was still, you know, in touch with the Denny's crowd, but this was right as I was transitioning from Utah to moving to Denver, which happened a few months later. And he picked me up. We drove to the top of the hill and down, and he pulled into a gas station. And parked on one side. I parked on the north side. And as he's climbing out of the car, he says to me, hey, do me a favor. Scoot over here and pull around to the other side of the gas station. I, thinking nothing of it, he, thinking I know what he's up to, I have no idea what the fuck he's about to do. Because I am an idiot Pleasant Grove boy.
Naive.
Yeah. And so I'm like, sure, you betcha.
You betcha there, hey.
You know, so I pull around to the south end, and a couple minutes later, he casually jogs out of the store with a giant case of beer, right?
Yeah.
And I'm, like, thinking nothing of it, and he kind of, as he's running around to the passenger side of the car, I happen to glance into the gas station to where I see the guy that's working there try and leap over the counter, catch his toe, crash to the ground. And all that goes through my head is, oh, I'll bet that hurt. Not, nice. Holy shit, Mike just stole a case of beer and that guy's about to chase us. So Mike still casually opens a car door, throws the case of beer into the child seat in the back.
Wow.
Pulls the door shut. The dude is now standing back up and is about coming through the door of the Sinclair. And I'm looking at the guy running at me, and I look over at Mike, and he's like, you should probably drive. So I, you know, remember 70, I think 74 LTD. I slam on the gas and that huge engine goes, and still the guy is now about 10 to 8 feet from the car and he's screaming, bring back that beer, bring back that beer. And Mike says, casual as fuck, you want to let off the gas a little bit? So I feather back on the throttle and this car rockets instantly from 0 to 40 and nothing, right out of there across University Boulevard into another parking lot, back across to the other side I'm supposed to be driving on, and now I'm going about 90 and Mike says, you could slow down a little if you wanted. Maybe pull over here.
We're clear.
Yeah. It's just like, boom! I pull over.
Oh, wow.
Take a turn, take another turn, hide us in the burbs, stick us behind a dumpster. What the hell was that? He's like, wait, you didn't know I was going to steal beer? And I said, no, why would you steal beer? He's like, because it's tasty. And I said, oh, dude. He's like, here, you want a beer? I'm like, I don't even like beer. Because, you know, I didn't then.
Yeah,
and he's like, what do you mean you don't like beer? Beer is good. Beer is truth. Beer is college.
Yeah, right.
And I said, yeah, I don't like beer. He's like, what do you drink? And I'm like, oh, God, wine.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, you drink wine? And I'm like, yeah. What kind of wine? I'm like Boone's and stuff? He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Thinking, you know, I could probably get a blowjob out of this if he's drinking Boone's. So we go down to the Denny's, and that is where he starts to share out the beer, and your story starts.
No kidding. So I was drinking hot beer.
Yeah, very.
As opposed to room temperature. But you know what's crazy about your story, though?
Huh.
Think about that now. There's no way that would have happened. No.
I mean,
think no cameras, no nothing. He got away with that.
Often.
Wow. You know, it's madness.
Yeah. No, it happened a lot. That was how he got most of his beer, as I recall, at that time.
Wow. So you provided me with said beverage.
No. Mike did. I want to be clear about that.
Oh, was this? This was Mike, the guitar Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The guy who looked like yogurt from
Revenge of the Nerds.
No, not Star Wars, the Mel Brooks spinoff. Spaceballs.
Oh, okay.
Yogurt, the Mel Brooks character. Which if he's listening, boy, he'll love that.
I don't know if he listens or not, but I think we'll find out.
Truth is. Not, you know, he was a great guitar player. I'll give him that.
No. Great singer. Fantastic songwriter.
So anyways, I'm consuming said beverage in the back of the Denny's in the parking lot up against the wall. And I was actually, I remember leaning up against the wall because I was that cool. And, Yeah.
How you doing?
Oh, wow. No, that's different, but okay.
That picture's from he and I in Denver about 4 years later.
Oh, okay.
When my awkward mullet that's in that picture of you and I standing up in front of your mom's house.
Yeah, that's when it grew out to actual hair.
Yeah, it had finally grown out to long hair.
Okay, so I'm out there, and I'm out there by myself. Or no, it was because it was Josh. Josh was out there.
Little Josh Rosin.
Yeah, the other ginger.
He got married. The Hawaiian ginger.
The Hawaiian ginger. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, he got married here. Last year.
Really?
Yeah. He and his now wife sent me an invitation, and I forgot. But then again, I haven't seen the fucker in 20 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah.
He remembered you. Didn't remember me.
It's well He found me on the Facebook. We still have not seen one another.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Facebook's made life weird.
Regrettable.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There's so many things that, you know, that come up that you know, people that come back and you're like, really?
Ooh, did I do that?
Yeah, I preferred it before knowing that you exist, you know, that you existed then, you know, as opposed to existing now. You know, it was, my life was much more content prior to so-and-so wants to friend you.
You know, and I don't think anything of it, but the truth is most of my exes from Utah, because let's be straight up. It's exes that are my biggest worry. Most of my exes from Utah are all conservative Republicans now, and any Facebook friendship has long since been blocked by them. I'm that guy. I don't care much. And so, but yeah, there's a couple on there. Donna, you remember her? She's not my friend on Facebook anymore, and I didn't do that. Tammy, you probably remember Tammy. She's not my friend anymore. Makes me sad. Not really.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Yeah, it breaks my heart.
So there you are, standing against the wall, you cool bastard. Joshy.
This is so typical. Yeah, so I'm leaning up against the wall, and I drank this entire can of whatever the hell it was.
I believe it was Miller Lite.
I believe it was, too. Now that you mention it. Because that's what the cool kids drink.
That's what the cool kids stole.
Only gave away for stolen. Free. But I'm just sitting out there, you know, and I'm like, I'm just cool as shit. You know, there's not a care in the world, you know.
No, you got like 15 earrings.
Yeah, give or take. And
you had a curly haired mullet. You had a full head of hair on top back then.
Yeah, I did. Bastard.
It's not my fault.
Well, no, thanks for pointing it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, now, you know, like me, because I'm thinning out a little. I'm thinning out a little. Now I've discovered the joy of hats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I discovered those a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it ain't really a joy. It's more of a necessity.
Well, it keeps you from frostbite.
There's nothing worse than sunburn on the top of your goddamn dome. Oh, God. And all you got to do is just get that puppy slapped once, you know, just get that little sharp crack. And, oh, man. You want to talk about a headache? There you go, Sparky.
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 So you're drinking your beer like a badass.
I'm done. I can't remember if I threw it or if I kept it. No, I threw it. I walk around the corner and, you know, and now I'm almost to where, the doors are,
right?
The service doors, which is totally, you know, I'm still a good ways away from the main entrance, but right. I'm near the windows where all my cronies are sitting and you are in there. Actually, I thought you came out at one point and, until the cop showed up. And then I thought you bailed or you had just gone in or something like that. But the point is,
I remember that because I was in, I don't know if you remember her or not. Her name was Amy. She was a waitress and she was built like Carmen Electra. And
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I was delusional enough to think I had a shot. And so, I was delusional.
Yeah. So you must have stayed inside. But this cop comes into the parking lot and proceeds to tell me that he saw me drinking. And I don't, you know, like this is, you know, 20 some years ago, so I don't remember the full, you know, conversation. But
sure.
I'm like, how in the hell did you, you know, there's no way. How did you see me? How did you know?
How did you know I was drinking?
Yeah. Well, because he already, you know, he smelt it on me. He said, I already saw you. I'm like, there's no freaking way. I mean, you know, I'm like Spider-Man on a wall. There's no way you could have seen me. And he goes, I saw you about a half a mile or a quarter mile down the road. And I'm like, what? He says, yeah, I was parked on the side of the road and I had my binoculars and I was watching you. And I'm like, okay, stalker, kind of creepy, but wow, you got me. And by this point, you know, this is, I don't know how many I've already consumed at this point, but.
It was free, so I'm thinking at least a couple.
Yeah. But I'm indifferent to the fact that this guy is busting me. Like, that's fine. You know, that's cool. We're all good.
All right.
And I'm 20, you know, so it's like, yeah, almost. Or I might have been 19 or 20. Either way, I was like, dude, I'm so close. Come on. And he didn't buy into that. But he proceeds to cuff me. But he cuffs my hands through the window. So I have one hand, you know, so it's around the post of his door.
Rude.
The window rolled down. So I got one, you know, so it's like I'm on a leash. You know, I'm tethered to his vehicle. And I'm still like, just, I'm amused by all this. I just was indifferent. I did not care. It was really kind of funny. And
hadn't you just broken up with somebody? You were in a mood, as I recall. You were in a mood that day.
I was always in a mood.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. Carry on.
And probably, I probably had broken up with someone. Or, yeah. Because that was pretty frequent back then, too.
I don't think she listens to my stuff. That was Melissa. I think you were with Missy at the time. And you guys had just had another fight. Because you guys used to do that a lot.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It's quite possible. I remember she was, you know, I think she was there, her and Jana both.
Yeah, Jana and probably Pete.
Pete was there, and because I mean Josh was there. I mean, it was like that whole music, you know, that whole music scene that
we
think that we were.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, I'm standing with my hands, you know, cuffed around this door, and I'm just standing there, and you know, he's writing the shit down that he has to write, and, like, you know, whatever. And you see me out the window now. And our, you know, you guys got front row seats. This is, you know, we had that booth that's right by the window. And you guys have this front row show of watching Troy getting busted for underage drinking. And you came out at some point just, I think you were trying to use your charismatic prowess to try to get me out of it. And it wasn't going to happen.
No. As the little bit I recall about the cop himself was he was a tight-ass little prick. He was an officious little shit.
When we were there.
Yeah.
During the process of being busted, yes, he was, you know, very straight-laced about it, very, you know, by the rules.
Sure.
And you are standing out there. And he had you stay, you know, to keep your distance because, you know, he didn't want you to jump him and try to, you know, have me get out of jail free card or something. I don't know.
Like, he read me wrong.
Quick, disassemble the door. Let's go. You know. But he asked me for my ID. And it was in my wallet. My wallet was in my back pocket. This is what, you know, when you tell the story, you know, when you would, you know, when we would talk over the course of the years and you'd reflect on this, this is the part that, you know, you always lost it on. And I never understood it until, you know, considerably later of why it was so funny. But it was just, it was natural. It was just instinct. It was just gut reaction of what I did. He asked for my ID. My ID was in my wallet. My wallet was in my ass pocket. So I leaned over, I leaned that butt cheek out towards him, and I told him, "It's in my wallet. You'll have to get it. My hands are bound." And you almost fell off the sidewalk. He dismissed you.
I remember that now. Oh my God, that was funny.
And I got carted off to, quote unquote.
You just got quiet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got carted off to the quote unquote drunk tank.
Yeah.
We ended up going to 7-Eleven and I had a Slurpee and he drove me home. But.
That was nice of him.
It was. I mean, really, we drove around for like 2 hours. He drove me around and I didn't get it at the time. You know, I was like, man, what the hell are we doing? But he said, you know, he's like, I can tell, you know, you're a good kid, you know? And I'm like, because, you know, when it gets down to it, when I really interact, you know, with people, I can be somewhat, you know, congenial.
You're a nice fella.
Yeah. I can be dapper happy. But, when we ended up, we go to the 7-Eleven. I'm walking around in there. He actually let me take the cuffs off. And he's hanging out. He's talking to another cop that's there. I mean, and really, I'm just like, I'm along for a ride-along. That's all it was. I spent 2 hours riding in a cop car. Say it again.
Did he give you a ticket or anything? I don't remember.
But I did get a ticket.
Oh.
And that's where my mom, because this is when we were staying at Hell House.
Yeah.
You and I.
Yeah.
And my mom had gotten a call from Provo police saying that there's a warrant out for my arrest for an unpaid fine. And you and I were actually in Donna's car.
The Chevelle.
Yeah.
The Chevelle.
Yeah. And we pull up to my mom's place there in Pleasant Grove.
Yeah. And
she had just gotten off the phone. And so, I mean, we timed this perfectly. And my mom opens up the door. Or no, she opened up the window that was to the street there. And she starts screaming at me from, you know, just letting the whole neighborhood know.
Yeah.
I just got a call. She'd just gotten this call from Provo Police Department saying there's a warrant out for your arrest, Troy. And she goes, "Damn you, Troy." And I didn't even, I got one boot on the ground and I heard the "damn you, Troy." And I put the boot right back in. And I said, "Jeff, let's go." And I yelled out the window, "Straight to hell, Mom."
I remember that. Oh my God. I remember that so. Oh, that just triggered. That, I remember, was beautiful because, again, you made me laugh until it hurt. Straight to hell, Ma!
Yeah, yeah.
I love your mother.
You know, when your mother says, "damn you, straight to hell," I mean, damn you, you know. I mean, what do you say? Love you, too. You
thanks,
know?
Mom.
Sorry, I screwed up. You know, nah, forget it. There ain't no point. Let's
you
go.
Try and keep in mind that my mother's nickname for me was Jackass. So you and your mom had a much healthier relationship than I had with mine at the time. So.
Which is really saying something.
Yeah. No, I mean, really. I was always very fond of your mother.
I'm very fond of my mother still.
Yeah. I don't know if she liked me or not, but she always pretended that she did.
Well, she did. She did.
Oh,
you know, she didn't like your influence, or I don't know.
Did you tell her it was you? You were the bad influence? I was headed for a mission until I met you? It might not be true, but did you tell her that? It's totally not true.
Oh, that would be awesome, though.
Man. That would have been, yeah. No, Mom, you totally misunderstand.
Yeah.
I broke him just to see if I could.
It's me.
Because I remember
he never
now
smoked until he met me. He didn't drink until he met me.
Because you were, I remember when you showed up, I could not for the life of me figure out how the hell we met, but it had to have been in some way through your little brother.
It was, yeah.
He was tooling around with all of the theater kids, and I was hanging out with the theater kids on the technical side. I was at Crescent Wrenches and in Converse. That was my gig. And I always liked the theater kids, even though in Pleasant Grove, Utah, they were all uptight and not at all slutty. And which sucked.
Depends.
Until they met you, Dick. And, you know, and that was it. I mean, that was the funny thing is that suddenly you came into the sort of realm of attention of these pure women.
Puritanical, yes.
And basically panties dropped. I don't know if it was the earrings, the mullet, it's probably the fucking voice.
Nah, it wasn't the voice, because nobody said nothing about the voice back then.
Yeah, they did.
It was my charming personality and my roguish good looks.
Horseshit. You were a grumpy, moody motherfucker is what you were. But I did. Your mom's place was like right the fuck across the street from the school.
Yep.
So I would drive to school, park my whatever I was driving at the time, whether it was the motorcycle or a girlfriend's car. And then I just walk over to your place, usually waking you up. One of my favorite stories I tell my kids, because you're still wearing earrings, right?
Yeah, still have them all.
As am I. I've only got three now. And the reason I have three is because I've lost my other earrings.
I had one casualty, so I'm down to 12 right now, I think.
Yeah. I've got six holes. I just only have three earrings. But we just pierced our girl's ears last year, right after my oldest girl turned 11. And so I've got an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, neither of which have a very high pain tolerance, to be completely honest. They're a little mollycoddled.
Yeah.
Because I want them to
be their holes they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So little girls are supposed to be a little bit like
we
that.
We get their ears pierced. And a couple of days into it, they realize that pierced ears are a little, you know, hurty.
Yeah.
And they at this point do not understand how I can fall asleep with hoops in
with
my ears. And it instantly reminded me of one morning very early in our friendship. I'm sorry, one afternoon when I'd come over to wake you up and you were sleeping, if I recall correctly, on the floor in the basement
in
a sleeping bag.
Yep.
And my question was, so how the fuck do you sleep in those earrings? And you said, okay, are you ready? And I said, yeah. And you just closed your eyes. That's just it. You're like, I like this.
Yeah.
And I remember your turquoise blue guitar. I don't remember what make it was.
I still have that. It's a Washburn.
Yeah, because I still have my first guitar, and it was a Yamaha Classical.
Yeah.
And it's hung on the wall. It's all fucked up because it's old as shit and didn't get taken care of. And I have my second guitar. Also hung on the wall because it's broke as shit. So, yeah, but I have a banjo.
Take care of your instruments.
What's that?
It's good you take care of your instruments, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. I sold the Yamaha for drug money.
Yeah, smart.
And I sold the Morello for drug money. And somehow both of them managed to end up back in my life a few years ago. I don't know how. I got rid of both of them in Denver, and somehow they caught back up to me in Utah.
Wow.
I'm just like, how did I don't, how come
like
my
destiny.
My Martin, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, how come my Martin didn't make it back to me? How come my Guild didn't make it back to me. How come my Gibson never made it back to me, but these two pieces of shit did?
And there's your answer.
Yep. That's really what it is. So, okay. All right. So you got with the busted and the drink and the beer.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell a story about the two of us that actually, to teenaged you and I, made me come out like kind of a badass. But to 41-year-old me, let me know what a...
42, thank you.
No, I'm 42 in September. I'm not 42 yet.
No, I'm 42. I'm just making sure you're not going to make me 46 again. You
know. Oh. No, I would not do such a thing.
Yeah.
What? How old am I again, you little whippersnapper? So I'm going to change the girl's name because that's the decent thing to do.
To protect the innocent.
Yeah, let's call her Betty. Let's pretend I dated a Betty, which I did not.
Okay.
I don't think. I could have. I don't remember. Betty. So Betty and I, Betty was basically a preacher's daughter.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She and I were carrying on a somewhat illicit relationship that had her parents. This story comes in two parts, and you're going to remember this. That had her parents remembered or knew what our relationship was, they would have been pretty pissed.
Yeah.
And her dad, as you might recall, was a giant, terrifying man with hands.
Did they have horses? Wasn't that like they had kind of a ranch?
Yeah. They had a couple horses, a couple cows. Dad was built like a stone giant.
Yeah,
those giant, terrifying hands, gnarled from years of heavy labor and work, ready to pound a redheaded dipshit into mincemeat. So the first part of the story was you and I and Betty rented Roadhouse from the local video store.
I had nothing to do with that.
No, that was a badass movie, and you know it. Sam Elliott in it.
Oh, yeah.
So I have no idea why, but we ended up back at Betty's house. We threw the movie on, and pretty much immediately, everyone fell asleep. We're all sitting on the couch in no inappropriate position. No. You know, there wasn't anybody's head on anybody's lap, anything. We were just three of us just sitting there, and we all fell asleep. So, of course, her parents choose the moment when the big-boobed blonde lady shows up to seduce Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Kurt Russell? No. It was Swayze.
Patrick Swayze.
See, for me, it's Sam Elliott. It's his movie.
All I think of is Patrick Swayze, and it's just automatically Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing and fucking Ghost.
Yeah.
So this is the part where the big, dumb, big-boobed girl is doing the dance, trying to get some Swayze's pants.
Yeah.
And what's this? Comes the voice of this coach. All three of us sit up straight, look right at the TV where there are boobs akimbo.
Yep.
Out of your mouth comes the words, oh shit.
To which, the eloquent one.
To which I say, no shit. Now, there's a part in this, I don't remember what the transition was, but you and I ended up standing outside, kind of hiding, if I recall correctly, waiting for Betty to finish getting chewed out so she could give us a ride home.
Yeah, she had to get her dose of a lecture.
And it took like forever for her to get that lecture. You and I are out, I think we smoked 4 or 5 cigarettes waiting for her, which probably did not help her cause at all.
Yeah.
Now, flash forward a couple of weeks, a couple of months later, when Betty was living in a college town.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. And I loved
that trip. That was awesome.
I know. I wanted to go down and see her. And you and I, let's be honest, we're poor as shit. And
oh,
this was
God.
200 and some odd miles away.
Oh, yeah.
So I somehow managed, and this is I think what you were talking about when you said I came out to try and charm the cop, is I could talk people into all sorts of horseshit back then.
Oh, yeah.
And I somehow convinced her mother and her aunt to give you and I a ride.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my God, I forgot how we got down there.
I know.
I can't believe we did that.
I can't believe her mom said yes. It was, yeah. And I don't know if you remember or not, nobody said nearly a fucking word through that whole 5-hour drive. It was
it was pretty tense.
But somehow we got in the car and got her right down there, and her mom dropped us off. I think we ended up staying like 2 weeks. My parents were pissed. Your parents were pissed. I was 16.
Were you really? You were only 16?
I'm only 16.
Wow.
No, that's the funny thing is around that time, you know, I had been trying to pierce my ears, and every time I got an earring, my dad made me take it out.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, he first started saying you can't get them until you're 18 and you're out of my house. And then he said something about, you know, you can't pierce your ears until you're a man. And he said that over and over again for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And then when you and I went down there and were there for a while, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month. I don't remember.
It felt like it was a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Cause she was up at the ski resort. And we had to give her that ride 45 minutes every day.
Up the mountain, down the mountain.
Yeah. And then go turn around and go back.
Yeah.
Again, showing, I think, that I had no idea what an absolute insensitive jerk off I was at that age. But so I'm talking to my dad on the phone while we're down there, and he's all, well, you know, you're living like this, you're behaving in an adult manner. You know, you're going to have to just assume that you're a man now and you have to take a responsibility for a man's actions. And I'm like, do you mean that, Dad?
And he says, this whole hidden theme that he's implying, and all you're sitting there thinking is like, cha-ching, I'm going to pierce my ear, bitch.
And we did.
Did we?
We stopped at the fucking University Mall in Provo on our way.
Oh, okay. I was like, I don't remember doing it like.
Not down there, because there's no mall down there. And so I think we went into Claire's at the University Mall. And I'm like, hey, I'm a man now. I got to get some earrings. Because made sense.
And it's time to man up.
And so
I got
two in each ear. And I went home and, you know, graciously, my very, very patient and understanding father let me back in the house. And I was there a few hours before he said, hey, I noticed you've pierced your ears again. And you know, my rule on that. And I said, yeah, Dad, you said I can't get them pierced until I'm a man. But when we were on the phone a couple days ago, you told me I was a man and behaving in a man fashion. And so I can do this.
Yeah.
And he looks me right in the eye and he's like, fine.
Defeat.
It's just like, you know what? You pick your battles, and this is not one I'm going to pick. And I don't think I was there another month before I was down living in Orem in Hell House.
Yeah.
Where bad things, good.
This is insane.
That was a nutty ass place.
It was.
That's what that was. However, I went into Hell House in early May of that year.
Yeah.
And there's about 4 months. I was there until the 1st of September. And somewhere in there, and I have very little memory of it, not because of the accident or anything like that, but because I was just not sober that whole summer.
No.
But I came out the other side and I knew how to play guitar. And that was pretty fucking cool.
You're like, welcome.
What happened here? all right. So I moved down to Price, Utah, and did 2 semesters at College of Eastern Utah. And, you know, guitars were the shit. Chicks,
you know, but it was only for the girls.
Oh yeah. It.
And you know, that's the tragic part of all this now, being this age and looking back at that. It's like the reasons we, the product of, you know, the '80s, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a tragedy that's why we were doing it. We didn't care if we were good. You know, and the music itself, it didn't matter. It was really only because chicks did it.
But it worked.
Yeah, and it did, totally.
It's their fault.
Yeah, suckers.
Because later, you know, 3 or 4 years later when I was out in Denver, we started playing full time.
Yeah.
And it mattered then, you know, that we were good at that point to me.
Yeah, it was 10 years of thinking around before where it's like all of a sudden you finally realize it's like, you know what? Nah, I'd rather do this for, you know, the creative sake of, you know, for generating something that's positive or, you know.
Well, you know, play Sweet Home Alabama so many times before you want to just die in a plane crash. You know what I mean? Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, did you ever learn how to play Stairway?
Oh, God, yeah.
See, I refused. I flat out refused to learn how to play Stairway. I don't own a guitar that has had Stairway played on it. Because it was too cliche. I just know there's absolutely no way.
But it's such a great finger exercise.
And now in my 40s, I watch, you know, when they did the that honoring Led Zeppelin ceremony thing where Hart did Stairway. It's on the YouTube, so if you want to go check it out. It's really, really good.
Do you hear this?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, thanks. I'll play Sunday Bloody Sunday, and I'll be a happy boy.
Oh, fuck, I don't remember. I could play Desire.
Bingo. Okay, play, yeah, Desire. D-A-D. Or D-A-E. There.
That was the first song you taught me.
Was it really?
Yep. The first song I learned was... Hang on. See if I even remember this. Used to love her, but I had to kill her.
Oh, man, we used to sing that to in that storage unit.
Yeah, but I had to kill her. She bitched so much, it drove me nuts.
Yeah, it's too bad I'm not going to sing to that.
Better off this way. Ay, 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 ay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to... Remember
that Margaritaville? Fucking Margaritaville?
Yeah. Screw you. I never participated in that at
all.
Yeah,
you did.
No.
Not sober.
Oh, me and Josh used to walk around with Ramon. Ramon wearing his yellow security shirt, pretending that we were famous.
Ramon.
Walking the mall playing.
Ramon was the dude who bought the Porsche.
What?
Wasn't he? Wasn't he that chucklehead What?
Back then he bought a Porsche?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's quite possible, yeah.
And yeah, because he was trying to do gigs. He wanted to be a concert promoter.
Yeah.
And he had some kind of money, and so he finally bought his dream car. And it was, I think it was an 82 Porsche 911 Carrera.
Yeah.
With the whale tail. It was pearl white with a dark tan leather interior. Oh, I can't believe I forgot this. And he'd had the car 2 fucking days, and he's driving up Freedom Boulevard, and he's going maybe 40, and he sees a hot girl jogging on the left side of the road, running south.
Yep, they should be illegal.
Who was apparently bouncy to the point of hypnosis.
Oh, absolutely.
He looked at her, completely stopped paying attention to not only that he was driving a car, but how fast he was driving it because his foot pushed down, and he ran his brand new beloved Porsche that he had just spent way too much money on into the back of I think it was a Cisco truck.
Nice.
Yeah, at about 55 miles an hour. That was parked in the middle of the street to.
Didn't he have a neck brace for a while from that?
Yeah. Yeah, and when the cops came, this is what he told me. He's like, when the cops came and said, "What happened?" He's like, "I told him I dropped a cassette and reached for it and wasn't paying attention. I just couldn't bring myself to tell him I was staring at a girl running." And I'm like, you know,
they would have bought that too. I mean, that would have been that wouldn't have even.
That is a better excuse, dude.
And totally a viable.
You should have seen her. She was pretty.
She was sure pretty.
I do. I remember Ramon Productions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And they did three or four shows at one of the abandoned Reams stores in Orem.
Huh.
I don't know if you were around for that, but...
I remember that.
I did security for a couple of them for $20, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Which was a shitload of money back then. And that was...
I would have broken my left arm for $20.
$20. That was when we were, I don't remember if you remember her or not. Her name was Jackie. And she had one eye. And, of course, we called her One-Eyed Jack because we're douchebags. She had made a couple of trips to Idaho and had purchased cartons of clove cigarettes, which were then and still are now illegal in Utah. And so you would spend $20 on the carton of 200 cigarettes, but then you could sell each of the clove cigarettes for $1, sometimes $2 if the guy was a douche. And you could make anywhere from $200 to $300 a carton. And so we would give her money, and she'd go get them, and we'd bring them back, and we'd sell them out. So, because I hated them. I thought they were disgusting. But
yeah, they're obnoxious.
Yeah.
They're like, why would you, smoke garlic, whatever?
Well, because it's illegal. That's why.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. They're like, if the Mormons are going to take it away from me, I might as well pay way too much to smoke it.
Yeah, but there's so many other things that are much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Besides cloves. I don't know.
Yeah,
never was my thing.
Some dumb thing. I never liked them either. I was never a fan. But, oh well.
So, yeah.
God, we were fucking boneheaded back then.
Back then?
Yeah. Because we've totally got our shit together now, don't we?
Yeah, I got it all right there in a pile right there waiting for me.
So you did. Let me go through a couple of things really quick. So,
yeah.
You and I have both been to college.
Yes, we have.
We both granulated. And you got the weirdest fucking degree of any white guy I know.
Yeah, I did. I got the worthlessest degree.
You didn't get a philosophy degree.
I don't know, man. Philosophy might. I think philosophy is just one step above, really, in all honesty.
All right. Tell everybody what it was.
It's an American Indian Studies. Yeah, you want to talk about having your shit together? Yeah, you think I have my shit together then? No, that was called I Need Something to Get the Hell Out of Here because I've been here for 7 years.
Yeah.
So I got it, so throw some credits together and make a degree. I made a topical minor. You ready for my topical minor?
Yes.
Anatomical and environmental correlates of prehistoric subsistence.
Fuck.
Which is just a really nice way of
saying. You knew what people ate in prehistory.
Yeah, I got into it. It was all about survivalism for me, I guess. I was learning biology and history. Put it all together, because that's what I really liked.
You put it all together, and 2 months after graduation, you're working at an Indian casino.
And yeah, then I went to the casino, and that's when I became a rock star.
Because you and I had obviously drifted apart. I went to Denver. You went, I did not know where.
I went back to Wisconsin.
Yeah, flash forward years later.
Yeah.
And this is one of my favorite stories. I have moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I am living in the area of Minneapolis that they called at that time Murderapolis.
Oh, cool.
And the only job I could find via the internet at that time, which is the funny, the fucking internet, because it was 98.
99.
Yeah. Well, 98 when I found the job.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay.
Was with Brugger's Bagels. Or, as we say it out in Minnesota, bagels.
See, no, I don't get that either.
You want to get a bag of bagels.
Yeah, what the frickety frack is that?
I don't know, but let me tell you something. That accent was like a virus in my head. It took me 2 years to shake it after I left. And it still pops up when I get really pissed. And there is nothing in the world that sounds as impotent as an angry Minnesotan accent if you're not fucking Jesse Ventura. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who you sound like anyway. So
yeah,
there
I don't
I
notice
am.
It, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. So there I am. I am wearing a white shirt, a tie, a fashionable white apron.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was a floating assistant manager at a bagelry. I made $400 a week.
At a goddamn bagelry.
And I took the job because my girlfriend / fiance at that time was working dirt cheap with her residency. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, it wasn't like I was like, I'm a savior, I'm a hero. It was more like, hey, well, you're moving there and I want to be with you, so I'll take this dipshit job and make $400 a week, which seemed like so much back then. But what I had never factored when I thought about it was when I was working as a bartender, each of my paychecks was about $140 a week. But I was pulling in $600 or $700 a week in tips.
Tips.
So I'm like, $400 a week. Woohoo! I'm rolling in money. Now, the day that I saw you, now I've told the story on an earlier episode, so I won't go too deep into it. The day I saw you was a couple of days after my nervous breakdown, where heat and humidity had taught me that winter in Minnesota was not that big a deal compared to when a desert boy goes out to 98 degrees with 98% humidity and finds out what it means to just emotionally implode because you're so hot and sticky and nothing makes it go away.
Yeah.
Because you were there. It's like you, somewhere in March, you take a shower and somewhere in October, you dry off.
It's a little later than March. Figure that. Yeah. You know, right now we still got 2 feet of snow on the ground.
That is true. Yeah. That is
and
true.
And it's supposed to actually, it's just thought it'd make you feel better about yourself being out there. It's supposed to get down to 5 below tonight. So
I don't mind that. Well, unless I'm smoking. So
I'll take that any day over anything above 85. You put it above 85 with the humidity. Nah, screw that.
Yeah.
I'm staying in the house.
So there I am. It's a couple, 3-4 days after this fucking nervous breakdown where a cop had to take me to a grocery store and stick me in the walk-in to calm me the fuck down.
Wow.
Wonderful guy. That was one of the nice things out there is the cops were fantastic. They were always very nice. And they pulled me over a lot, and I never got a ticket. But I drove like a madman. What's that?
You drove like a Utah.
Yeah, fast. Yep. That's it. I mean, that's the other thing is Minnesota nice only counts unless they're driving a car. And then they're just fucking.
That's true.
So I'm standing on the line. It's busy as shit because we're at the bagelry across the street from the hospital. And I can't remember what road it was on, but it was a very busy road.
Como.
It was easy. What's that?
Como.
That's right. And so this was one of the busiest branches this particular bagelry had. And I had floated over from my normal store to do a couple of days helping out there. I'm hot. I'm miserable. I just had a cop save me from suicide, basically, because I was considering it. You know, I didn't have an air conditioner in my truck.
Yeah, that would sunshiny. Do it.
Yeah. And so
don't drive anybody out that off the brink there.
Yeah. And so I'm hot, I'm pissy, I'm moody, and I'm making fucking bagels. I've been doing it long enough that I know this is a shit job, and I'm pissy and miserable, but I've promised this beautiful girl that lets me touch her when she's naked, that I'd be out there to help make ends meet. Oh, she looks great and naked.
Focus.
And then I hear, what the fuck?
Well, well, well.
And I look up, and there you are, and I'm positive I'm hallucinating.
That's what I said. That's why I said what I said. Was there a time warp at the door? Was, you know, what the hell?
Because you were just about to have a kid.
Like, I was. That's why I was at the hospital.
Your wife at that time was in labor across the street.
For 10 days straight. Yep. No shit.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Rhiannon, my daughter, did not want to come out.
No.
She was in there. We went to the hospital. Now, mind you, we were living on the extreme west side. We were living out in Waconia.
Yeah.
So we drive every day, and it's about a 40-minute drive now.
Yeah.
And it's through, you know, and where the hospital's at, some, you know, it's just on the riverside, you know, of, you know, it's just west of the river from St. Paul. So, I mean, it's you're almost into St. Paul.
Yeah.
So it's you know, you're driving through all the shit to get there. And every freaking day for 10 days straight, we drove to that hospital because she's, you know, showing signs of preeclampsia. They try to induce her. We sit there and, you know, she goes on a drip and no kid comes out. We go back home.
Jump up and down.
Yeah, yeah, go for a walk. And that's what we were doing. Her water had finally broke that day. The kid wasn't moving.
Yeah.
They told her to go for a walk. And, you know, but, you know, they didn't say where to go. And I was I was sick of sitting in the hospital and, you know, eating the freaking crap food that they had there. So I'm like, I saw a place across the street when I drove in. Let's walk over there. Well, do you think they'll let us? Yeah. They'll let us. And I swear to God, I walked out the door from the hospital. I crossed the street through some dimensional rift and ended up, you know, stepping into Utah, and you were working behind the counter.
Yeah.
And I still, to this day, I do not understand how the hell that happened.
I mean, it was because I only worked in that store for 2 days, and it was the day before and that day. And, wow. And an hour after I saw you, I left that store. Yeah. And all I remember was is we were so busy and that line was so fucking long that all you and I could say was, how's it going? Good to see you. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? And I'm slowly kind of moving younger associates out of the way as I force my way down the line so we can talk a little bit, which was making the particular manager of that store, who didn't really like me anyway, really pissed, you know, and I'm trying to explain, I haven't seen this guy in 15 years or whatever.
Right.
Actually, it had been quite a few, but maybe 8 or 9 years at that point. Fuck.
Yeah, it was right around a decade. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, that was a long time ago.
You know, what's crazy now is that has been, you know, that's coming on 15 years.
We saw each other sooner than we had since then.
Right.
Yeah. Nutty.
And that was unintentional. I mean, the last time when I was there for the left show on Hold 322.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was funny. What are you doing? Oh, my wife's in labor. We're going to have a kid. Oh, yeah. Hey, that's pretty nifty. Yeah. Yeah. Had some sex. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. I'm breeding. Hey.
Well, get back to work. Yeah. 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 Give me a sec.
Yeah. What do you say to that? You know, like, you know, here it's been a decade and I'm working behind the counter at a freaking fast food joint.
And you're working at an Indian casino.
Yeah, and I'm working at a casino in the hospital, and I've been there for the last 10 days. trying to, you know, obviously I'm so consumed by this birth of my child here that, you know, I there's nothing else on my mind.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to small talk.
Yeah. Continue. Worst possible circumstances in every direction.
Hey, you didn't die yesterday? Sweet. Awesome. Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to go squeeze out a puppy. Have a good time. You know, what do you say?
Oh,
good time.
Memories. Anyway. All right. I think we've told some stories. What I'm going to do is stop telling stories now so that I can call you later and we can tell more stories.
Okay.
Because I want to save them. And if I understand correctly, your stepmom's home.
Yeah, she is not.
Like that. That's why you quit saying fuck a few minutes ago.
Yupper. Ever the 16-year-old, what can I say?
You know what?
It's respect, what can I say?
Let me give you one last little itty-bitty story.
Please.
So I'm in my mid-30s. I am working at a place called Allen Communication, downtown Salt Lake City. It's on the 18th floor above, no, the 17th floor above KSL TV and radio, right?
Okay.
I'm in my 30s. I think I was 36. I still smoke cigarettes because I'm a moron. And I am sitting, thanks, honey. My daughter just yelled, you are. So I'm sitting in the little smoking area out in the front of the building. Now, I forget that my mother's best friend works in that building. It just never occurs to me because she works for the parent company at KSL. So 36 years old, I'm wearing a goddamn suit and a tie. I'm smoking a cigarette out in the front of a building.
You got busted.
And my mom pulls up in the car to drop her friend back off at work. They'd gone out to lunch together. And I immediately flick my cigarette that I had just lit. I darted behind a pole to exhale.
Oh, my God.
And I look at one of the cameramen who works for the TV station. I'm like, oh, shit, I think my mom saw me smoking. To which he gives me this look like, so fucking what?
Yeah, exactly.
And it immediately hits me. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm an adult. So I come strutting around the pole, and my mother, to her credit, was laughing at me because she watched me do the whole thing. I go over and say, hi, how are you? She's like, great, how are you? I said, I'm fine, I've got to get back to work. I just saw you pull up, thought I'd say hello. And she says, you know, when you were 13, you used to, before you came in the house, force your way into the middle of the pine tree in the front yard and jump up and down. It never covered your smell. It just made you smell like a truck stop bathroom.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, you saw me, huh? She's like, uh-huh. I'm like, okay, Mom.
Yep.
Just see, like,
that's just it, though. I mean, I don't think we ever escaped that mentality when it comes to parents.
No, we did. Over Thanksgiving, I had a huge argument with my dad and one of my sisters about religion. And it was nutty. You know, it's just like, oh, boy, you guys still believe this shit. And here I am. I want my father to live the rest of his mortal life, whatever, believing that as far as religion went, he did a good job with me, or at least an adequate job. Because I'm a good person at this point in my life because of lessons my dad taught me. And I realize as I look back at my life what a shithead I was because of the things my dad taught me. I'm self-aware enough to know that I was a turd. I was a horrible person, especially to women, until I was about 25. And so, maybe 30. Maybe now. Probably now. I'll ask my wife.
yeah, I'm pretty sure. In you.
And so, yeah, I want him to be able to shuffle off this mortal coil, not knowing really where I am with that sort of stuff. And it was so hard to have.
You just quoted Shakespeare at me or what?
Like maybe a little bit. But yeah, it was so hard to have a discussion like this without blurting out anything that would make him sad. Because, you know, my stepmom just died last year, and he's depressed, and the last thing he needs to know is that his kid's going to hell.
Well, that's okay, though.
He'll get back to her.
I get it.
He liked her better anyway. Yeah, I liked her better.
Exactly. Yeah. I relate to that one.
All right. Troy, thank you. This has been a hoot. What I'm going to do is sign off and stop recording, and then I'm going to talk to you for a few more minutes.
Sounds good, man.
All right. So, everybody, say thank you to Troy. I know it's not the left show, but I told you I'd get him back. And here we are. And I'm going to do this again with you because you saw how this is easy, isn't it?
It is. Yes.
It is. I told you. All right. Hey, that's it for Tell Me a Story for this week. In the next couple of weeks coming up, I'm not going to tell you who because everybody keeps canceling on me, but we've got some pretty impressive people coming up. Almost as much fun as this.
It's not as impressive.
No. It's, I'm going to get, I don't know. These are more fun for me. You this week, the last couple of weeks, Ethan, you know, and everybody. It's just sitting around swapping the shit.
Yeah, right.
You know, famous people. This is more fun. And people are enjoying the show. They're sending me more compliments for this than they are for the left show.
Really?
Yeah. My labor of love over the last 3.5 years, and this is what they like. Oh, well.
Interesting.
All right.
That's cool. Whatever works out.
Good night, everybody.
One of those nights, warm beer and cold women. No, I just don't fit in. Is there a joint I stumble into the night? It's just how it's been. All these double-knit strangers with tin and recycled stories in the Naugahyde booths and the platinum blondes and tobacco brunettes. I just be drinking to forget you. I'd light another cigarette. Tammy Wynette, and the drinks are on me tonight. All my conversations now, I just be talking about you, babe. I'm pouring some sailor as I try to get through. I just want him to listen now. I said, that's all you have to do. He said, I'm better off without you. Until I showed him my tattoo. And now the moon's rising. There ain't no time to lose. Time to get down to drinking. Tell a band to play the blues. And the drinks are on me. Now I back up around at the last-ditch attempt saloon. Thank you. I just don't fit in. Every joint I stumble into tonight, it's just how it's been. All these double-knit strangers, a tin and for mood, receding hairlines in the Nogat booth. Brunette, I just been drinking to forget you, babe. Got a lot of menthol cigarettes, and the band's played something by Johnny Barnett at the last ditch attempt. So
right.